At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
And if it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
A happy Thursday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. Stack show for you guys today. We're talking a little NC State football. We're talking Buffalo Bills on the show today. Also, diving into PJ's potluck. We got the Olympics. We got opening ceremonies starting tomorrow. We'll dive into some MLB games today and compare some of the college football and NFL futures together. So that'll be a lot of fun. We also got Lucy Burge joining us as well for Model Making Money. And then we'll give out our favorite plays to wrap up the show. Any questions, comments, best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube/Odyssey Sports. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered. You can go check out the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get this thing going. Glasses in session. Go to the Glasser guest line. Joe Giglio is joining us from OG Media. Give Joe a follow on X at @Giglio_OG. Joe, great having you on the show, man. It looks like you're there at ACC Media Days. You enjoying yourself so far?
We're trying to. Yeah, you know, it ends up being a lot of work as it is, right? We're not digging ditches, but
yeah,
a lot of talking, and then you have to wait. Talking and waiting, right?
Talking and waving, absolutely. We've kind of been previewing this conference, Joe, and I think it's really interesting, like a bunch of these teams. And you look at NC State, the last 7 years, they have won 8 or more games, 6 of their last 7 years. What are the expectations in Raleigh this year for this NC State team?
I think I can still hear you. I think you still hear me.
Yep, we still got you a little bit, Joe. You're cutting in and out there. All right, we'll try.
How about that? You got me?
Yeah, we got you.
I know.
Now,
the wireless here is a little bit of a trick.
All okay. Good. We got you, Joe.
Yeah, I think you mentioned. Okay. I think the consistency that NC State's had the last few years is a nice building block, but obviously people expect more. And Dave Doran has been through this before, just 2 years ago with Devin Leary, who of course finished his career at Kentucky. And there were high expectations, and the team kind of stumbled out of the gate, ended up losing to Clemson, and then Leary got hurt, and it was like, what happened, right? So you kind of have these waves at NC State with football. And every once in a while, you want to see them have these points where they can contend and potentially, you know, play for the ACC championship, which is something that they haven't done since the ACC expanded in 2004. So there are some expectations this year that makes the college football playoff.
Phone
with you guys, or I can try to get on Joe's Ethernet.
Yeah, let's try that, Joe. If you don't mind, we'll have Sean, my producer, will try and work with you. If you want to hop into the link on your phone, we can try and figure it out that way. Talk with Joe Giglio here about NC State. I'll give my preview on the Wolfpack as we try to get Joe back on the line. But I'm really intrigued by this team, and a lot of it has to do with their quarterback, Grayson McCall, who, if you watch college football the past couple of years, you know he had a great couple of seasons down in Conway, South Carolina with the Chanticleers. He transfers in to Raleigh to take over with NC State, and I'm really intrigued by this team this year. Dave Dorn's one of those coaches. I'm not the biggest fan of his. He's been very consistent throughout his career, wins just about 8 or 9 games every year with NC State. As I mentioned, 6 of the last 7 years, NC State has won 8 games or more. But this year is going to be big for NC State because the ACC is kind of wide open. We talked about SMU yesterday. A lot of people think Virginia Tech's going to be much better. Florida State's probably going to drop off a little bit from where they were last year. Miami's up and coming. Clemson's kind of the same team. So NC State, the schedule this year, as you can see on your screen, pretty doable. They do have Clemson on the road. That Tennessee game, week 2, could be a massive non-conference opportunity for NC State potentially. Let's say they make it to Charlotte for the ACC title game and they don't win the ACC championship. If they go 11-1, 10-2, something like that, have that Tennessee win in their back pocket, that could be very important there for NC State. Defensively, how they replace Logan Wilson is going to be the big question, and we'll talk about that with Joe here in a little bit. But the Wolfpack have been excellent on defense the last couple years. Without their leader in Logan Wilson, that's something they're going to have to replace. Offensively, though, this team's going to be very good. The schedule sets up pretty well for them. Win total sitting at 8.5. Probably going to lose the Tennessee and the Clemson game. There's probably a stumble one of those other games on the schedule as well. 9 wins feels about right for this NC State team. They're plus 700 to win the ACC. I would rather take a shot with SMU, like we were talking about yesterday. Take a stab with maybe SMU rather than NC State. Let's go back to Joe Giglio, who's standing by and talking with us. And Joe, I want to talk to you about Grayson McCall, because I thought that was one of the best transfer portal pickups that any team had in college football during the offseason, what he was able to do with Coastal Carolina. How do you see Grayson fitting in with the offense for the upcoming season?
It's funny, we just talked to Grayson about 30 minutes ago, and he hasn't been healthy for a complete season since the pandemic year. And that's obviously a pretty good big concern for NC State, in the sense that they don't have a proven backup behind him. And he's also a guy who really likes to run the football. And we saw this last year with Brennan Armstrong at NC State. When you have a running quarterback and you involve him in the offense the way that they had to last year, you know, you're really putting him at risk. So it's going to be a delicate balance for Grayson to try to make plays with his legs, but also understand that he needs to remain healthy, because this is really a different roster for NC State. I think last year you saw Kevin Concepcion really be the only true threat on the offensive side of the ball. And I think this year they have 3 to 4 to 5 other guys who actually can make plays. So that's going to be a big adjustment for how they call games. It's going to be a big adjustment for how they can try to win games. You know, they were a team last year with Peyton Wilson that they had to win 18 to 17 or 20 to 10 or 14-7. You know, they had to win with their defense. I think this year they're more in a position to win games where they can outscore other teams.
I mean, it's going to be interesting. He was one of my favorite quarterbacks at Coastal Carolina, so I'm excited to watch him at NC State. The other side of the ball, you bring up Peyton Wilson, one of the best defensive players in college football the last couple of years. He has been the heart and soul of that NC State defense. They've been really good under Dave Dorn ever since he's gotten there to Raleigh. What do you expect out of them this year on that side of the ball with all the production that they're going to have to replace?
Yeah, the 3-3-5 stack that they run from Tony Gibson from West Virginia, they've made a full transition to that. And Peyton obviously was a big part of that, the number of plays that he was able to make. I do think they could be – obviously, they know what they're doing schematically. They're not going to have an eraser like that. But a guy in Sean Brown, who they're moving up to a linebacker position, and then Caden Fordham was a kid last year who kind of came on at the end and was going to be probably in Peyton's actual spot there in one of the linebacker positions. So they're still going to be sound. They have Davin Van up front. Their secondary is actually pretty good too. My real question is, will Dave Dorn be willing to win games that might end up being higher scoring. You know, I think the last few years it's been more of, they also had an unbelievable kicker in Chris Dunn, where they kicked a lot of field goals and they thought they could just, you know, play it safe and be conservative. And I think you're going to see them have to be a little bit more aggressive this year.
Yeah, it's a really good point, too. One of the best kickers in college football last season. Joe, let's dive into the schedule a little bit. There's so many great matchups in college football this year. We're getting some great non-conference matchups early on in the season. I think one of the games flying under the radar is that Tennessee-NC State game in week two. That's a massive game, especially for NC State, and obviously Bama getting over Florida State last year in the playoff, and maybe that SEC-ACC bias, what that win could mean to NC State potentially. How do you see that week two game playing out for NC State and potentially the impact that that could have if they're able to win that game?
Yeah, I think their path to an at-large spot in the college football playoff has to include a win over Tennessee. Unfortunately for NC State, they don't have a great history here in Charlotte, where they've lost to South Carolina. They've lost their bowl games here, Mississippi State, Maryland. They had a game against South Carolina in 2017 where they had like 500 more yards of total offense and somehow lost the football game, because Deebo Samuel returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown. They had a loss at Mississippi State a few years ago. Very similar. They gave up a kickoff return on the first play of the game. They don't have a great track record in these games, and the SEC obviously does, whether it's Mississippi State or South Carolina. And we're not talking about the big dogs here in the SEC. Tennessee, obviously talented. Their quarterback, the Ama Leaving, the perfect name in the yeah, portal era. So I think NC State is a 5-point underdog in that game, and it's probably deserved, because we don't really know what NC State's going to be. I mean, it's going to be difficult for them to kind of put it together that early. So, but it would be huge. You know, I just don't see a way for them into the at-large pool without that win, because the rest of the schedule is, quite frankly, not that challenging. They do go down to Clemson, but they haven't won at Clemson since 2002. And they have beaten Clemson two of the last 3 years, but that was at home. And the game they went down there 2 years ago with Devin Leary, I mean, DJ Uiagalelei looked like Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence all rolled into one. I mean, Clemson every year plays one game where they kind of stick out their chest and say, hey, you know, we're still Clemson, you know, mm-hmm. And it's usually at home,
right?
And it's usually against State or Carolina or another team who they enjoy kind of keeping their thumb over, protecting their corners. So those are obviously the two big games on the schedule. You look at the rest of the schedule, it's unusual. I mean, for people in my neck of the woods and in the Triangle and Raleigh, when we see Cal and Stanford and even Pitt kind of gets hard to remember that they're still here. And then obviously when the ACC got rid of divisions, it was, you know, you kind of got used to seeing Syracuse every year and Wake Forest every year. And it's just so much has changed in the ACC. But what hasn't, you know, NC State hasn't won this league since 1979. Mm. So you had the odds before. If you're a State fan, you want a bigger payout than 7-1. For them finally winning, you know, the ACC. We got gambling legalized in North Carolina in March.
Yep.
People want a bunch of money on State in the ACC tournament, because DraftKings and FanDuel and BetMGM and everyone else had these deals basically like, here's this school that never wins. Well, sure, here's a parlay. Knock yourself out. The men and women who make the Final Four, that'll never come home. A lot of people made a lot of money this spring when they finally legalized gambling here in North Carolina.
I mean, look, we've been joking about it on our show. I've been saying it's the year of the wolf. I mean, you had men and women in college hoops. You had the college baseball team. You had the Minnesota Timberwolves do pretty well in the NBA this year. So maybe football will continue that as well. Before I let you go, I do want to ask you about your head coach and Dave Doran, because he's one of those guys I just can't get a read on. And I want to know, as somebody who follows the team as closely as you do, fans around the program, do they feel like he's the guy to get him over that hump? Because he can win 8-9 games. He's proven that he can do that. As you mentioned, the next step is seeing if they can compete and win an ACC title. Do State fans feel like that they have that guy as their head coach?
Depends on who you ask and depends on when you ask them. You know, when they have a loss, like a Boston College at home, and you're going, well, how did that just happen? It's no. Invariably, Dave is really good at ending the season with a win over Carolina, and that's the game most State fans care about. So he has found a way to end the season, regular season, the right way for the last 3 years. And I don't know if you know, Drake May was pretty good at Carolina. He never beat State. So wow. State fans enjoy that. State fans definitely enjoy that. But I think there's also a lot of pressure that goes in with the championship droughts that were in football and men's basketball and baseball. And so when that was finally broken this spring, I do think that takes some of the pressure off of Dave and the team. You know, State fans are now in a honeymoon phase after winning the ACC basketball tournament for the first time since 1987. That doesn't mean they're going to be happy if Dave goes 8-4 again, but I also don't think it's going to be the same frustration or kind of negative energy that we saw 2 years ago when they, you know, Devin Leary year, a lot was expected that year. It just didn't come home. So, you know, it's the hope that kills you. And so we'll see. We'll see where that hope gets crushed. It might be really early against Tennessee. So,
man, well, as a Bama fan, Joe, I can tell you where my allegiances will be in that game. I hope you guys absolutely dominate Rocky Top. I can't wait for that one. Appreciate the time, Joe. I know you're a busy man. Enjoy the rest of ACC Media Days and hoping that we can catch up again at some point during the season.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it, and I appreciate it, and I apologize for the technical difficulties, but yeah, next time I'll be ready for you.
No worries at all. Joe Giglio of OG Media. Give him a follow on X at Giglio _OG. Join us here on Send It In. All right, we keep it moving along now as we talk a little NFL, and we dive into the Buffalo Bills as we start our AFC East preview. And, man, that Bills schedule. We just talked about NC State's schedule being a little bit friendly. This Buffalo Bills schedule, folks, is a gauntlet. I mean, look at some of these games that they – look at the road games that they have. They're at Baltimore this season. They're at Houston this season. They're at the Rams. They're at the Lions. They're at the Seahawks. They also play the Chiefs at home and the 49ers at home. I mean, that is a murderer's row of a schedule. Right now, BetMGM, their win total, depending on which side you like, you can either go over 9.5 wins, under 10.5 wins. Over 9.5 wins is -160 if you want to lay that juice. Under 10.5 wins is -150. So Vegas feels like the Bills are going to be a 10-7 football team this year, which, I mean, seems about right for the Bills. Again, the big question for them is they lost a ton in the offseason. They lost a lot on defense. They obviously lost a lot on offense, got rid of two of their top receivers in Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. I really don't know what to make of the Bills this year, to be quite honest with you. It feels like a lot of people are down on Buffalo just because it feels like they kind of had their window. When Diggs was in his prime and Josh Allen and Diggs had that connection and it was one of the most lethal in football and their defense was one of the top units. These last couple of years, though, they've obviously been crushed by injuries, especially on defense. Josh has had a bunch of turnover issues. And as we know, they just can't get over the hump. That is the Kansas City Chiefs, like most teams in the AFC. So it feels like a lot of people are down on Buffalo. And obviously the stock on the Jets heading into the season, the Dolphins heading into the season is high while people are coming down on the Bills. I'm not doing anything with the Bills in terms of team futures. Don't want to bet them to win the AFC East at +165. I don't want to bet them to miss the playoffs at +150 or lay the juice with them to make it at -185. Don't want to bet him to win the Super Bowl. Don't want to bet him to win the AFC either. And then the win total sitting at 10 feels about right. They're anywhere from like an 8-win team to a 12-win team. And again, with that schedule that they play, I mean, you're talking about a lot of coin flip type games. We know the MO with Buffalo usually over the last couple of years. You get them in a one-score game, they usually lose those kind of games. If they play lesser opponents, they beat the crap out of them and they win those games by 20-plus points. But with all those good teams that they play, going to be a lot of close games. The Bills are going to have to find a way to win some of those one-score games. Where I do like Buffalo, though, is in the players' futures market. Josh Allen, I think, is going to win MVP this year. He's my pick at +900. I've had some pretty good success with MVP over the last couple of years. I took Mahomes a couple of years ago. We had Lamar Jackson last year as well. Josh Allen, I think, is a really good candidate for MVP this year because of what he loses at receiver with Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. Josh Allen is Superman. He has stretches of football where he does things that only he can do. His combination of size, strength, his arm talent, it's just unmatched. He's one of one, truly, in the NFL. And again, with a lot of people being down on Buffalo, if they do win this division and have a good season, a bunch of it is going to be because of Josh Allen. So of all that he lost this offseason on offense and Josh still being in the prime of his career, if he limits the turnovers and is still able to account for all those touchdowns that he had last year, I think he'll be right in that race. And then also Keon Coleman for Offensive Rookie of the Year at 25-1. Somebody's got to catch the ball from Josh Allen, who's a wide receiver. Shakur is a nice receiver. I don't think he's a number one. Needs somebody on the outside. I loved Keon Coleman at Florida State. And think about a rookie wide receiver going to a situation where you're going to have all the opportunity in the world to make an impact, and you get to play with one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So Keon Coleman steps into an excellent situation. I think 25-1 is a really good price for him. So not doing anything with Bill's team futures, but Josh Allen to win MVP at plus 900 and taking Keon Coleman at 25-1 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Really like both of those plays. All right, let's go to PJ's potluck now here on Send It In. Real quick, B Mills with a question in the chat. Gavin Williams under 5.5 Ks against the Tigers. B Mills, nothing for me in that game today. I know it's getting ready to start between Detroit and Cleveland, but nothing for me in that Tigers and Guardians game. PJ's potluck, Shawnee Sharp, what's our first thing up?
Yeah, Peach, we were just talking about the Bills and NC State here. How about the Bills to win the AFC at plus 750 or NC State to win the ACC at plus 700?
Ooh, this is a good one. I mean, we were just talking with Joe. NC State's a team that's trying to win the ACC for the first time since 1979. The Bills obviously trying to get back to the Super Bowl for the first time since the 90s. At the end of the day, I don't trust Dave Doran and company, and the Bills got one of the best quarterbacks in football, and when you got a guy like Josh Allen, he's good enough to take you on a heater and go the whole way. He's a great playoff quarterback, so I would rather, I don't like either one, but I would rather take the Bills at plus 750.
All right, I think I know where you're going to be going with this one, but how about futures to win the Heisman? Carson Beck at plus 750, Dylan Gabriel at plus 750, Quinn Ewers at 10-1, or your boy Jalen Milroe 10-1?
So I actually do like Jalen Milroe. It's not biased that I like Jalen Milroe. Carson Beck, I'll put it to you guys this way, those four quarterbacks. Carson Beck is the best pro prospect. He's probably going to go number one in the upcoming draft, and he's playing for the best team in college football in Georgia. Dylan Gabriel's the most experienced. This is now his third stop. He started his career at UCF, played at Oklahoma last year, then went to Oregon. Quinn Ewers in Texas, I think, is in the best situation. He's been the starter there for 3 years. In my opinion, he's got the best offensive play caller in Steve Sarkisian. They have so many great wide receivers and running backs. But Jalen Milroe, I think, is the best current college player of those guys. His combination of speed and arm talent. Jalen gets, I think, too much of a knock for his ability as a passer. He's an incredible deep ball thrower. If he develops the intermediate game, and now that Kellen DeBoer is his head coach, I think the sky's the limit. Nick Saban said multiple times Jalen Milroe was the fastest player on the team last year. The fastest player on Alabama's football team is the quarterback. That's a scary thought. So I'll take Jalen Milroe at 10-1.
Yeah, everyone playing NCAA 25 knows Milroe is a problem. So
yeah,
let's go to the Olympics here. To win the gold medal in golf, we got Scottie Scheffler plus 350, defending champ Xander Schauffele plus 650, Rory McIlroy plus 750, or the field.
You know, let's go with the hashtag narrative page play here. Rory McIlroy to win the Olympics, because of course he will, right? Can't get his major championship. He's gone a decade without winning one. So he'll do the reverse Xander Schauffele, and he'll win the Olympic gold. And the knock on Rory of that, he can't win a major, but he can win the Olympics. Just like that was Xander's thing for a while. Xander has an Olympic gold, couldn't win a major. Now he's won two this season. So I'll go with the narrative play and take Rory.
All right, two more here for you, Peach, both Olympic. How about the women's national team for soccer to win the gold medal? It's at plus 175. Or the U.S. men's 3-on-3 basketball team to win the gold medal? It's at 2-1.
Well, I saw Jimmer Fredette was on the U.S. men's 3-on-3 team, so for me, that was enough. And I'm riding with Jimmer and company at plus 200. U.S. women's national team, there's no more Megan Rapinoe, no Alex Morgan on this team. There's a bunch of names that people will miss that they're not used to seeing. So I think the rest of the world in the women's game is caught up to the U.S. team a little bit, and I'll take Jimmer and company at plus 200.
All right, last one. Just how about the U.S. National team's gold medal count? Over the over-under set at 40.5. The over is minus 115, and the under is also at minus 115.
So 4 years ago in Tokyo, they won 39 gold medals. And then the two previous Summer Olympics before that, they won 46 and 48. So they're setting it at 40.5. Feels like the over is probably the play. And then you get to root for Team USA to get all the gold medals. So we'll go with that. Over 40.5 golds for Team USA at the Summer Olympics. Let's go to Model Making Money. Check in now with Lucy Burge. Get some of our best bets in Major League Baseball today. Lucy, before we get your plays, what does the BetQL 5-star model like for us today?
Yes, good afternoon, PJ. 5-star play for today is Sydney Sweeney. No, I'm kidding. Giants Dodgers under 8.5 runs scored. The Giants have gone under this in 4 of their last 5 games. Dodgers have gone under this in 2 of their last 3. So the BetQL model loves the under 8.5 runs here for Giants Dodgers.
Lucy, well played. Sean and I, before we came on air, I said Lucy's definitely going to make a comment about it right off the bat. You didn't waste any time. So
obsessed.
Good on you.
Obsessed with that, PJ. Also, do I disagree? Who's to say? I don't know. I might agree with you.
Look, Lucy, like Margot Robbie and Dua Lipa and like Zendaya, properly rated. Sydney Sweeney, she's an attractive girl. Just think she's a little overrated, personally. That's just me.
I could see that. Nothing,
you know,
nothing wrong
just,
with that,
that's
PJ.
Just me. How about your best bets? What do you like for today in Major League Baseball?
Yes, so I have a Lucy Longball play. It is Jared Kelenic to hit a home run against the Mets. He has one home run in his last 3 games, 11 home runs this season. And against Luis Severino, he is batting .500 with a home run. And Severino has allowed 4 home runs in his last 4 starts. So I like a Jared Kelenic to hit one out tonight. And then Marcell Ozuna over 1.5 total bases. He has hit this in 3 of his last 4 games and in 8 of his last 11. And against Luis Severino, you know, he is batting .667 with a home run and a single in 3 at-bats, and Severino has allowed 23 hits over his last 4 starts. So I think Marcell Ozuna can go over on bases, and then Francisco Lindor also over 1.5 total bases. He has hit this in his last 3 games with 9 yesterday and 8 2 games ago, and he has hit this in 5 of his last 8 games, and against Chris Sale, he's batting .419. I do love Chris Sale, but Francisco Lindor does well against him. Has 1 home run, 2 doubles, and 10 singles. So I think Lindor can keep his hot streak going and go over 1.5 total bases in this game.
Very nice. Lucy, let's talk about a division near and dear to our hearts, the AL East. And both of our teams are stinking right now. The Yankees have been awful since like the middle of June. Who's going to win this division, and how many teams do you think make the playoffs of those 3, Red Sox, Yankees, and Orioles?
Yes, well, I do think your Orioles will win the division. That's why we're best friends. They are minus 120 to do that. And the Red Sox, I think, will make the playoffs. So there's two teams I think will make the playoffs, the Orioles and the Red Sox. The Red Sox right now, plus 165 to make the playoffs, which is pretty good, I think. There's some faith in them to make the playoffs. So I think Orioles will win the division, and the Orioles and the Red Sox will make the playoffs, and the Yankees will not because they are going down.
Could you imagine, Lucy, if that happens? Amazing. We're having a big
incredible
old party. We're having
we might just merge
our 2 shows together, send it in bet slips and bat flips, and just have a bit, because Jake would love that too. He was big
he
on
would
the
love
Yankees.
It.
He would absolutely
right.
love it.
Before the season, we both were very down on the Yankees, and if we are all correct about that, and the Orioles win the division and the Red Sox make the playoffs, that is party central. 2-hour party.
Absolutely. Yankees, by the way, 10-1 to miss the playoffs right now. And Jake, bet it. Shawnee Sharp is telling me. Lucy, before I let you go, in about 30 seconds, we're starting to talk about the AFC East. We'll have you back on the show and we preview the Patriots. We talked about the Buffalo Bills today, though. What are your thoughts on the Bills for the upcoming season?
So I don't think the Bills will win the division. I am kind of, a little part of me is really high on the Dolphins. I saw Braxton Berrios' Sopranos sweater, and I thought, you know what? Dolphins could be good this year. Also have gotten to know Braxton Berrios on his girlfriend Alex Earl's podcast. So I'm like, you know what? Looking at the Dolphins maybe to win the division. Not the Patriots, not the Bills. I think it'll be the Dolphins, not the Jets.
All right. Very good. Make sure you guys tune in. Bet slips and bat flips. Lucy, Jake, maybe Sydney Sweeney, who knows, 2 p.m. Eastern time.
Hopefully.
They'll be talking some baseball. Lucy, great catching up with you. Have a great show.
Thank you, PJ. I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1 to 5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time to wrap the show. Give out our favorite plays for today. Randy Arozarena is going to be our guy and going streaking. Randy's having a tough year. He's only batting .213, but he's 6-for-14 in his career against Chris Bassitt. We'll take Randy to get a base knock tonight. My prop lock and dog of the day are going to be in the same game. We'll start with the prop lock. Clayton Kershaw, might have heard of him, pretty good at his job. He is returning, making his first start of the year. We're taking over 1.5 walks today for Kershaw. Expect there to be a little bit of rust, maybe a little amped up going against the arch rival Giants. I'll go over 1.5 walks for Kershaw as my prop lock. And then I'll also take the Giants on the money line today to beat Clayton Kershaw. Logan Webb is going for San Francisco. Like the spot today for the Giants. Shawnee Sharp's going with Wyatt Langford over 1.5 total bases. The analysis, and as I'm reading this, is Sox suck. None else to be said. My best bet is going to be the Athletics -110 against the Anaheim Angels. Ross Stripling is 1-9 this year. He's 1-9 as a pitcher, yet they're a pick'em today, the A's are, against the Angels. That's what we call a market indicator. I'll take the A's to get the win today at -110. Once again, our best bets for today, Randy Arozarena going streaking against Chris Bassitt. Prop lock, Clayton Kershaw over 1.5 walks today. And then also we're taking the Giants and Logan Webb at +110 to beat Kershaw and the Dodgers today. Then my best bet is going to be the A's in a pick-em -110 against the Angels. Thanks again to Joe and Lucy for joining the show today. We'll see you guys tomorrow to wrap up the week. And if you missed any part of the show today, make sure you go check it out. The Send It In podcast available wherever you guys get your podcasts. See you tomorrow.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
Green Bay's rookie wideout is dealing with a lingering shoulder injury and is considered day-to-day. Meanwhile, Philadelphia's Saquon Barkley is expected to be available for the team's game on Monday night after suffering a groin injury last week.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates, presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sports books, an injury ruins your whole football parlay, but not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play Insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.